Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The Gen 40 heaters are back in stock. With skyrocketing heating bills, they sold out and will go fast again. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. For this week or until they run out, you can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with code Howie50.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Monday. It is going to be a super fun, jam-packed week leading up to Christmas, and thank you so much for joining us. I hope you're all enjoying the week. I hope you're getting ahead of your holiday shopping. It's going to be crazy. As Mayor Pete once wisely told us, there are two types of Christmas shoppers. And so I hope for your sake you're not at the mall on Christmas Eve. Now, we have a lot to get to today. And I say that every single day, but it's true every single day. So I'm not lying to you. There's so many stories. We've got updates on the border. Title 42 is set to end in 2 days. Greg Abbott, the governor from Texas, did a sit-down interview with Martha Raddatz. I will tell you my take on that later on in the show, but here's a little tease. I don't know why people are still sitting down with Martha Raddatz for interviews. That's number one. That's the real conversation I want to have here, is why are Republicans still doing this? And there will be people who call in and say, Grace, you know, you got to get your message out there. You know, you can't shy away from it. I vehemently disagree. I think it is so dumb at this point to continue to do these shows with the mainstream media, with the credible news organizations. There's nothing about it that they want to actually go well for you. There's no honesty there. There's no goodwill. The intent is to make you look foolish. The intent is to regurgitate talking points from the Biden administration. And let me tell you, the latest talking point brought to you courtesy of Martha Raddatz is one for the books. I hadn't heard it yet. I don't know if the White House, you know, gave it to them Friday afternoon and said, this is the new one we're running with. But even for Joe Biden and his team of Ivy League Avengers, this is really, really pathetic. The latest excuse they're making for what's happening at the border. Also, Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, we did a poll question on this last week, whether or not he was going to continue to fight extradition. Our question was, where would you feel safer if you were SBF? In the Bahamas, at the Bahamian prison. Sorry, I always get that wrong. I'll add it to the whiteboard. With the rats and the maggots and the drugs and the violence. Or at an American prison where, you know, sometimes these big scandals, Jeffrey Epstein, it doesn't end well for the prisoners. And I think the vote, and I got to start keeping track of all these. I think the vote ended up that most people would feel safer in the Bahamas at Fox Hill Prison rather than in the United States. But we had been talking about how SBF was very upset about not just the conditions, but apparently the fact that he couldn't get a good vegan meal in the prison. Imagine that. The prison that is famous for having easier access to drugs inside the prison than outside, and having no mattresses, and people are getting bed sores from sleeping on the floor, and rats and maggots and all sorts of rodents. They do not have an updated menu for the vegan prisoners. I never would have thought that. So he is no longer fighting extradition. So anyone who had that on their bingo card, you win. Congratulations. It appears that he would rather be in the good old U.S. of A. Bahamas is fun, but not when you're in the clink. We'll talk more about that later. I also have a column that's coming up soon at the Boston Herald, and it's basically my Christmas list, my suggestion for Father Christmas as to what to get some of the brilliant minds in the Biden administration, some of the members of our mainstream media, and I think you all will enjoy that. But what I wanted to start with today and this is kind of becoming the standard here because of Elon Musk, Twitter was all over the news this weekend. Elon Musk, the bad, bad billionaire, because there are good billionaires and there are bad billionaires. If you're a billionaire like Bill Gates, who is very pro-vaccine and wants everyone to eat, you know, bean hamburgers, then you're a good billionaire. If you're someone like Elon Musk who likes free speech and doesn't want to be doxxed, doesn't want his children to be doxxed, you are a bad billionaire. Oh, did I mention he drinks Diet Coke? Again, that falls under bad billionaire. So there was a big hullabaloo this weekend. Elon Musk, as we reported on Friday, he was suspending the accounts of so-called prominent journalists that most Americans had never heard of. That's how prominent they are, that you would not be able to pick any of these people out of a lineup. I probably could because of my line of work, and I don't say that proudly. It makes me sad. I wish I could say that if I saw Keith Olbermann in a lineup, I wouldn't be able to pick him out. But unfortunately, because of the way my life has gone, I would be able to. So Keith Olbermann, Aaron Rupar, some other stellar journalists. You know, we should really start calling them as bloggers, because that's what a lot of people are now. Just bloggers. Well, they were suspended. And we talked about this. They were suspended for 7 days because they were tweeting out a link to this Elon Jets account. And it's this account by this guy, Jack Sweeney. And it tracks the location of Elon Musk's plane. And this bothers him. It's bothered him before. He said he wasn't going to ever really ban Elon Jets. But I think that the fact that there was some crazy Uber Eats driver who was stalking one of his children, it kind of changed his mind, got him paranoid. Who can blame him? And so he starts suspending all these accounts. By the way, just a side note, there's going to be a lot of side notes today. This guy, Jack Sweeney, who runs the Elon Jets account, he was on CNN and he kind of went rogue. You know, I don't think CNN knew he was going to do this. He basically, and I'm saving a lot of the sound for later, but he tried to extort Elon Musk on TV, just out in the open. Very Michael Avenatti-esque. I see a really bright future for this guy. He said, like, oh yeah, if he gives me a Tesla, I'll stop posting the location. I don't think CNN had really rehearsed this back and forth with Jack Sweeney. And we'll get to all of that. But the point is, after he suspended these accounts, and they all melted down, they all started, you know, calling, you know, the publishers to get their books ready. 7 days of silence, my time being banned by Elon Musk, my journey, tyranny, Twitter, and me, the story of Keith Olbermann. You know, these are all just free ideas, by the way, just so you know. As that's happening, after he suspends these accounts on Sunday, Musk took things a step too far for the blue check keyboard warriors. And he suspended Taylor Lorenz's account. Now, if you're not familiar with the work of Taylor Lorenz, congratulations. You probably are doing something productive with your life. Again, unfortunately, I'm very familiar with the work of Taylor Lorenz. That is my cross to bear. Taylor Lorenz is a woman who made her bones essentially trying to cancel people for old tweets. That is what her journalism amounts to. And she also was a big proponent of doxing libs of TikTok, the account on Twitter. So I would say that her reaction to being suspended from Twitter was even more unhinged than Keith Olbermann's. And that is saying something. She didn't have an account from her dog that she could access like Keith Olbermann, but she did record herself flipping out over the suspension. And again, I just want to reiterate here, my main issue with all of these suspensions is, one, I like the left to be able to showcase their stupidity. So I'm not for suspending really anyone. I like people to be able to showcase, you know, with there are a few exceptions. I think some people, and I mentioned, I was always back and forth on the Kanye thing because I did hear that the anti-Semitism was really driving up, you know, threats to synagogues. But as far as public information, which some people say that info was, and as far as saying stupid stuff on Twitter, I've always been a big fan of letting people show off their stupidity and letting people decide if they think others have good ideas. But my real issue with the suspensions, you know, beyond the censorship free speech debate, is that Musk is giving people like Taylor Lorenz just the greatest gift of all. He's giving them relevancy. He's giving them name recognition. People are talking about them. That's all these people want. They just want to be talked about. They just want to be able to say, I'm a victim. Play the smallest violin for me. And that is essentially what he's doing. And that's, you know, all I hear in my mind when I see videos of Keith Olbermann or Taylor Lorenz ranting at their iPhone cameras with crazy eyes. Do you notice that? Everybody's got crazy eyes when they get suspended from TikTok. I'm sorry, from Twitter. They all have this look on their eyes like they haven't slept in 10 days. And all I can think about is the narcissism, the egos on these people. It's really the self-importance of these bloggers would make Dr. Fauci blush, if I'm being honest with you. So Musk, by the way, just this is just a funny fact. He thought it was really amusing that Keith Olbermann was tweeting from his dog's account. So he wrote, Olbermann tweeting from his dog's account still makes me LOL. And Keith Olbermann always, you know, showing off how he has such a cool head in these situations, writes back, it's a dog rescue account, genius. That's the really fun thing about these social justice warriors. They don't take themselves too seriously. You know, they have a really good sense of humor. They have a really thick skin. Anyway, though, so the uproar over Lorenz, after all that, Musk decides, you know what, people seem unhappy with me. We'll take it to the polls. We'll ask people if I should step down as the head of Twitter. And so he puts out a poll and he says he'll abide by it. And 57.5% of the vote says, yes, he should step down. Now, there was over like 17 million people who voted. I voted as well. I voted no because I've been enjoying this so much. I'm not sure who is going to replace him. I do think that he will step down because all of these other polls that he's run, he's whatever people have decided. That's what he's the decision that he's gone with. So I definitely think he will step down. I'm sure whoever he chooses to replace him, by the way, he'll still be in charge, you know, so it's not like he loses control or anything, but whoever he decides to replace him, I'm sure the media and the Biden administration and the left will give whoever that might be a real fair shot. I'm sure they'll come to this with an open mind. Now, meanwhile, as all of this is happening, Matt Taibbi put out the sixth installment of the Twitter files. We also have the seventh installment that dropped today. I do need a little bit of time just to work through that because I'm just wrapping my head around the sixth installment. We'll talk about this when we come back, but I'm really interested in this chapter of the Twitter files because Matt Taibbi, probably thanks to the fact that James Baker's finally out of there, is starting to dive in to the back and forth between Twitter and the FBI. And when you think, first of all, when you read these back and forth, it's insane how involved the FBI was. You know, they're worried about Billy Baldwin's Twitter. But then when you couple that with the fact that the FBI manages to blow every lead they have, to ignore every red flag, you know, to let everything slip through the cracks, and you figure out that all these geniuses, all these men and women of great integrity at the FBI are spending their time worried about these stupid Twitter accounts and, you know, misinformation. And that's what they're spending all their days on. It's infuriating. Just like everything with the FBI, it's infuriating. 844-500-4242. We're going to get into that when we come back. The lines are open. They will be open all day long. I've got no guest plan because I really want to talk to you, and we have so many stories to get to. Again, it's 844-500-4242. Heading into this holiday weekend, very excited to be here, and I look forward to getting your takes on all of this craziness. So do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Answering the hard-hitting questions of our time.
Let's say you're abducted by aliens.
Fine.
They haul you aboard the mothership, take you back to their planet as a curiosity. Now, would you rather be in their zoo or their circus?
It's The Grace Curley Show.
Turning now to the January 6th committee meeting publicly for the final time today. Following an 18-month investigation, NBC News has learned the panel plans to recommend criminal prosecution of former President Trump on several counts related to the attack on Capitol Hill.
You heard it here first, everyone. the greatest television of all time, according to the New York Times, or at least from this year. They're having one final hearing, and they are going to recommend criminal prosecution of former President Trump. Now, you know, I just have to mention here, besides the fact that these charges are completely bogus, and I really see no evidence that is actually going to support this, that doesn't matter. We know the left doesn't need evidence. Hell, they don't even need a real story. We saw what they did with the Russia hoax. That took them 2 years. Seen impeachment after impeachment. They will make things up out of whole cloth. And that's just their brand. So that doesn't surprise me. But what I will say is, if Trump is such a loser, which is what we keep hearing, you know, the NFT cards and, you know, I've been critical of Trump as well. I'm not afraid to shy away from that. I think DeSantis does a better job of kind of focusing on what we need as far as strategy goes for 2024 and for the Republicans. But I never rule Trump out. That's a mistake that the media makes that I refuse to make. But if he's such a loser, you know, if I keep reading these headlines that he is done, he's down and out, it's over, bon voyage, then why are they doing this? You know, like, if don't you want him to be able to run and lose and Biden can win again, or Dianne Feinstein, or whoever they're going to run in 2024, whatever wise, mature politician they choose, I just don't understand the plan. Now, there was something in Red State, I'll be reading a lot from Red State today, where Bonchi mentioned that maybe this new special counsel will wait and see if Trump wins the GOP nomination, and then they'll indict him in an attempt to destroy the Republican chances in 2024. That would make sense, I guess. But I just, is anyone watching this anymore? Like, I saw today on Google, I typed in January 6th, and it says how to watch, this is again from the New York Times, how to watch the January 6th committee's final session. Now, last time I checked, the New York Times, when they weren't telling me that John Fetterman is one of this year's most fashionable people, they were telling me that the January 6th hearings were this year's most riveting television. I don't even know what word they described, how they described it, but it was really, like, you know, you just couldn't turn away. Based off the ratings, it would seem that plenty of people could turn away. But at the New York Times, they're convinced it was really great stuff. So why do they even have to tell people how to watch it? If all these people are watching season one and season two and the season finale, they don't know the channel? Shouldn't they have this programmed in? Don't they have their TiVo set? Now New York Times is acting like the TV guy. They're going to start telling people where to find the January 6th final hearing, so people can watch Liz Cheney deliver this amazing bit of news. It's just, it's so tired. 844-500-4242. Did want to keep you posted on that, though. That's what they're up to at the January. And you know what? I hope they really enjoy it, because this is all probably, this whole show, this whole circus, this whole C-SPAN soap opera, it's coming to an end, you know, and I just hope they have fun for their last performance. The last performance is always kind of sad. You know, as a thespian, I know this. You got to give it all you got and hope for the best. And I'm sure the reviews will show that people are loving it. 844-500-4242. Okay, when we come back, we're talking Twitter Files Chapter 6. We're also going to play you some of this sound from the Elon Jets guy extorting Musk on CNN. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I don't know if I can even ask Matt to pull some of the sound from Taylor Lorenz talking on an Instagram Live about being banned on Twitter. It is so painful to listen to. I'm not even joking when I say the narcissism of these, like, D-list keyboard warriors never ceases to amaze me. Elon Musk banned me from Twitter. This is so crazy. And she can barely keep her train of thought because she's so glued into looking at herself in the camera that she kind of loses her train of thought a lot. And it all kind of goes back to this narcissism that AOC was telling us about when she said, you know, the reason people criticize her is because they want to date her. I think that that's the mindset of a lot of people in D.C., in the swamp, in the Beltway. And all I can think about is a classic song. Can I have cut 13, please, Matt? The vanity is something else. And so, and again, I know I keep saying this, but my real gripe here is that all these people are giddy. They're gleeful that they're being suspended from Twitter. I have banned from Twitter. Oh my gosh. Let's talk about me a little bit more. And look at me. I'm falling for it. And part of the problem. Okay, but what I really want to talk about when it comes to Twitter, the big deal here, the big story, is the latest chapter or installment of the Twitter files, and that would be Chapter 6. We also have Chapter 7, still trying to gather some info on that. It's hard for me not to sound like an old person, but the threads for me are a little tricky. I prefer to read things in... I wonder if Howie feels this way, too. The threads are not my favorite. I'd prefer it to be in a column. That's the format I prefer. Okay, so I want to read you a little bit here from Jeff Charles from Red State. I thought he did a really good job of kind of breaking down Chapter 6. And Chapter 6 involves a lot of appearances from FBI agent Elvis Chan. Now, I like Elvis Chan's name because it's not one I'm going to forget. It is a very, very distinct, specific name, and he comes up a lot in this. So journalist Matt Taibbi, or as the Washington Post likes to call him, conservative journalist Matt Taibbi, reveals some friction between FBI agent Elvis Chan and members of Twitter's leadership. In July of 2020, Chan told former cybersecurity head Yoel Roth to expect written questions from the Foreign Influence Task Force, an interagency coalition tasked with addressing cyber threats. And so this is what Chan wrote. I believe the Foreign Influence Task Force would like a response ahead of our meeting the week of August 10th. It can be written or we can set up a phone call, whatever's easiest for you. I think you can tell from the nature of the questions that there was quite a bit of discussion within the USIC to get clarifications from your company. Taibbi notes that the agents who authored the questionnaire appeared to be displeased with Twitter for intimating in a briefing that the company had not observed much recent activity from official propaganda actors on its platform. So Twitter, in a briefing, says we haven't, you know, seen that much propaganda. And this upsets the FBI. You think it would be good news? After all we've heard about the Russian agents and the interference and the bots and how the arm wrestling memes caused Hillary Clinton to lose the election, you'd think that the FBI getting word that there's not a ton of propaganda happening would make them happy. And maybe happy, so happy that their heart would grow three sizes and they might say, listen, we got a couple tips about some red flags, whether it be shooters or, you know, perverts like Larry Nassar. Maybe we'll spend our time, since it appears that things aren't that bad on the internet, maybe we'll spend our time cracking open some of these cases. But no, the FBI hears that there haven't been much recent activity from propaganda actors, and for some reason, that makes them very upset. They're not satisfied with that answer. And keep in mind, he's going back and forth, Yoel Roth. From what we've gathered over the past couple weeks, Yoel Roth isn't exactly a mega, MAGA, ultra, credulous boomer rube. Okay, he's on the side. His politics align pretty well with the politics of the FBI. And they're still not happy. He then listed a series, again, I'm reading here from Red State, from Jeff Charles. I just want to keep giving credit because he did a good job of putting this all together, and it's a lot more than I could do with this because some of it confuses me. He then listed a series of questions for Twitter to answer, including, I just have to emphasize, this is what they're doing at the FBI. They're sending these questionnaires to Twitter about nonsense, about propaganda, and, you know, interference and all these things. There's real things. I don't know if anyone's looked around recently. There's real things they could be doing. I feel as though there's more important, not to sound like Joe Biden and start saying there's more important things to do, there's more important things going on, But I just can't get over the fact that this is what the FBI, this is what's consuming their entire workday. And don't try to tell me it's not. Because the back and forths I'm seeing, it seems like this is pretty time consuming. So he sends this list of questions, and it concluded that official propaganda actors were less active than, they wanted to know how that could be possible, that official propaganda actors were less active than other groups on the site. The agent also wanted to know what actors the company included in its analysis. Chan also asked how the company limits the scope of your analysis of the domestic scam, foreign state, official propaganda, and white supremacist actors. Of course, the white supremacist actors is probably, I would say, if they had to rank it, the most important thing on their list. The questionnaire authors seem displeased with Twitter for implying in a July 20th briefing that you indicated you had not observed much recent activity from your from official propaganda actors on your platform. Like I said, they don't like this, so they send this whole questionnaire. So after receiving this questionnaire, Yoel Roth, who we now know very far left, very gleefully censored Donald Trump, was on board that he claims, you know, it wasn't really him involved. But if you read the back and forth, he was very upset. He wanted to let everyone on Twitter know, I'm very upset. I know Jack Dorsey is on vacation and he's not nearly as upset as I am. This really bothers me. This is keeping me up at night. So Roth sends the FBI's list of questions to other executives at Twitter. And he notes that he was perplexed by the agency's requests. He said the question seemed more like something we'd get from a congressional committee than the FBI. Is there really any difference at this point? You swap out January 6th committee for the FBI, we're getting the same amount of stuff done. You know, it's the same amount of BS, theatrics, and baloney. Christopher Wray, Liz Cheney, tomato, tomato, who really cares? Roth also indicated that he was not comfortable with the FBI demanding this information. Now, for Roth to feel like that, imagine if there was a person in there who wasn't a left-wing progressive activist. Imagine how uncomfortable that would make them. But either way, he's still not good with it. This is his quote. He says, the idea of the FBI acting as a conduit for the intelligence community is interesting, given that many agencies are barred from domestic operations. Taibbi points this out. This is what Taibbi pointed out. The executive then suggested they get on the phone with Elvis ASAP and try to straighten this out. So Roth wants to get on the phone with Elvis Chan to ensure the agency understood that Twitter was not claiming that state-sponsored propaganda was not a thing on the platform. So basically, he wants to call up, from what I'm, you know, taking from this, he wants to call up and say, I know we said that there wasn't a ton of, you know, propaganda happening, but rest assured, we know there's propaganda out there. Like, we don't want to burst anybody's bubble here. We don't want to upset you guys and kill the dream, kill the job. This is clearly what you guys spend your whole day on. So far be it from us to say there's not that much of it out there. Taibbi then recalled how the Bureau released a statement after the last Twitter files drop claiming the agency regularly engages with private sector entities to provide information specific to identified foreign malice influence. Now, here's where I have an issue with this. So the FBI is trying to say, oh, we do this a lot. You know, we interact with private agencies. We keep them up to date on foreign foreign malign influence actors, subversive, undeclared, covert, or criminal activities. But that's not what you've been doing. What you've been doing is you've been telling private companies that certain stories are Russian disinformation when you know they're not. So you've been lying to companies. That's what you're doing. You're not protecting anybody. You know, like, you're not saving the world by interfering in these private companies and asking them to be more of the ministry of truth than they're being. It goes on to say, the journalist indicated that his team has not seen any real focus on foreign propaganda or criminality in the documents it has reviewed. Now, here's the part that I find the most laughable. So the FBI's reaching out to Yoel Roth, and they're making sure, you know, we have a lot of questions. I'm not even going to read you the questions, or I'll read you one or two. It says, what official propaganda actors do you include in your analysis? How do you differentiate official propaganda actors from foreign state actors? And what is the reasoning to make that distinction? In which bucket do you place, for example, outlets such as Ruptly or In the Now, which are part of the state media apparatus, but which seek to obscure that link by using different branding? Are they included in your analysis? I wish we could get. Remember how I said last week, I said, I wish the people at The Washington Post who were mad about the layoffs and they were yelling at the publisher. I can't remember his name, but they were very upset. I said, I wish we could get this kind of energy at the White House press briefings. I wish any journalist would use this kind of passion when dealing with Karine Hatch Act Jean-Pierre. But that's never going to happen. Well, I would also say this. I wish that the FBI, when you read this, these bullet points, question after question, they have a list of references. I wish they would use this kind of detail-oriented work ethic for anything else. If we could just channel this into the school shooters that you guys don't grab because you're too busy worried about propaganda actors on Twitter or Billy Baldwin's Twitter location where he's tweeting from. If we could just channel this into actually, you know, solving some stuff and protecting the American people, then maybe we'd be better off. Maybe every time I read a story, it wouldn't say known to the FBI. He was known to the FBI. They got so much time on their hands, apparently. So here's the best part, though. It says, Matt Taibbi's gone through this now, and he keeps hearing from the FBI about how they really want to focus on foreign propaganda. You know, we're worried about foreign propaganda. And how can you guys say there hasn't been that much foreign propaganda? But he hasn't seen much foreign propaganda. Instead, we've mostly seen requests for moderation involving low follower accounts belonging to ordinary Americans and Billy Baldwin. So that is what the FBI is protecting you from. The Twitter account of Billy Baldwin. That's what has them up in arms. 844-500-4242. Kudos again to Jeff Charles for putting that all down. I am going to try to get to the next chapter at some point today, but we are going to talk about this. We're going to talk about a lot of things, including the border. There's just a lot to cover on this beautiful Monday afternoon. 844-500-4242. It is getting chilly. They're saying it's going to be the coldest Christmas in decades. In decades. Well, I have good news for you, because if that doesn't sound all that great, then this will make you happy. My friends at Eden Pure are extending their Gen 40 heater special until Christmas, which again, it's going to be a chilly Christmas. So it's slated to sell out. This is while supplies last. Reduce your heating bills with a Gen 40 heater. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. Very, very stylish, strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. And if you use code GRACE50, you'll get $50 off, which is great. So the Gen 40 heater combines infrared and convective heat. It warms a room and it warms you to the bones. You don't have to heat up your entire house. The heater's safe around kids and pets. And I love the heater. My listeners love the heater. I actually was with a bunch of listeners a few weekends ago, and people were asking me, you know, is Eden Pure going to do another deal with the heaters, or will we only get a deal, you know, in the spring or in the summer once it gets warm out? And I told them, I said, I really don't know, but they've done deals before in the winter. They just go really quick. And I'm excited that they're doing this deal and they're extending it a little bit for the listeners. But again, it's while supplies last. So last year it sold out. You need to order early. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code GRACE50. Save today. Be prepared for the cold temps, the record cold temps, according to a lot of the mainstream media. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACE50. Shipping is free, which is also great, especially around Christmas time. We will be right back with your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. And today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week and $149.99 a night on weekends through March. So book online at nausetbeachinn.com. Matt is on the board. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Elon Musk will step down as Twitter CEO?
Well, he put it to a vote, and every other vote that he's put out there before, whether it be, you know, should I unsuspend people or, you know, whatever his question is, he's tended to go with the vote, and he said he would abide by this. So I'm going to say, yeah, he will step down. He's still going to be in charge. I mean, it's just going to be someone who's Elon Musk acting in name only, but I do think he'll, you know, step down.
71% say no.
And I also think that this could be part of his plan to begin with. I don't know if he really wants to do this forever. I think it's been fun for him for a couple months, but the guy, you know, he also has from what I've heard, he has a pretty big role at Tesla. So he might have other priorities to get to. I will say this, though. I was having this conversation today with Matt Gagnon on WGAN. Say what you want about Musk. And a lot of people seem to forget this. A lot of people look at Twitter as, especially these bloggers and stuff, it is like their entire life. And yeah, do I like Twitter? Sure thing. Do I go on it more than I should? Absolutely. If you kicked me off of it tomorrow, would I be on here crying my eyes out? I can assure you I would not. But I think what a lot of people forget when they talk about Musk and they talk about all these hijinks and what's happening, it's a business. He wants this to do well. And all of these ups and downs over the last couple of days, the suspensions, the Elon Jets, we're going to play that sound in a little bit. All of this has done something that I think was the goal. You know, the guy gets asses in the seats. The guy is a showman. And I didn't really expect it so much because I've seen a lot of interviews with Musk in the past and he's a little awkward. You know, he's very, 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 obviously very, very bright. And so that sometimes comes with, you know, the territory. He's a little socially awkward, but I think I was wrong because what I've been seeing here is a man who knows how to work this. I mean, he has people, according to him, and you can take it with a grain of salt, the user activity on Twitter has been absolutely through the roof. People are every single day. I mean, it's way more entertaining than a movie. It's way more entertaining than a TV show. It's definitely better to watch than the Patriots, especially yesterday's game. I don't think anybody was happy with that. So even if he does step down, I would say mission accomplished. He's got everybody fixated on this stuff. And in a lot of ways, he's very Trumpian. You know, he knows how to keep the attention on what he wants when he wants it. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I want to get your take on the border and whether or not Republicans should keep doing interviews with the mainstream media. I have a very definite answer on that. Don't go anywhere.